Good morning. My name is Thomas Prevenslik. I'm an American living in Hong Kong, and the title of my talk is Nanocomposites by Quantum Mechanics. Introduction. Nanocomposites with uniform dispersion of NPs avoids agglomeration to significantly enhance mechanical property. NPs here will be nanoparticles. But how can a uniform dispersion of nanoparticles be achieved? This is a very difficult task. And to proceed, I have to assume a concept, and I'm going to take here, I'd like to propose fabricating a large number of metal nanoparticles enclosed in a polypropylene shell of nanoscale thickness. Upon thermal processing in a 3D mold, the polypropylene shells melt to form a uniform nanoparticle spacing. This is what I mean. Here you see a polypropylene shell in yellow surrounding a metal nanoparticle. You want to put them into a mold. Like here you would be putting, these pictures here show the nanoparticles here at room temperature. And you can see there's a space between them at this juncture. But when you melt them at high temperature, you get a continuum. That's basically the idea. Again, this is very difficult to achieve. And the enhanced mechanical properties then, you have to charge a uniform nanoparticle dispersion somehow. This is what I mean. You'd have to produce positive charges, as you see here, at all the nanoparticles. And then once you have charges at all nanoparticles, you can see the Coulomb repulsion force is given here. Here Q is the charge on this nanoparticle. Epsilon is the permittivity. Kappa is the dielectric constant, which is low for polypropylene. And then you'd have to integrate the force on each of these nanoparticles is the sum of all these particles on that nanoparticle. And that Coulomb repulsion between the nanoparticles will produce a triaxial stress state, and that enhances the elastic modulus, and you will see very significantly. But what if the nanoparticle charges decay? Someone can ask that question. Well, if that's the case, you have nothing. So to get around that problem, I'd like to just briefly talk about electrets. And these are dielectric materials having a quasi-permanent electric charge. And high resistance of electrets allow charge to not decay for hundreds of years, so people say, but those people have not been around for 100 years to check it out. They're made from synthetic polymers, fluoropolymers in particular, Teflon, polypropylene, which is what I'll be assuming in this presentation, and so forth. Now, the charging mechanism. The way electrets are usually formed is by cooling after melting in a strong electric field. You take the dielectric, you heat it to a high temperature, you melt it in a strong electric field, and the particles you have in it will be charged. The approach I'd like to talk about in this presentation is a little different. What it does is it argues QED charging by quantum mechanics. And here QED will be quantum electrodynamics and QM quantum mechanics. So either of these two approaches will work, but I'm going to talk about this one because it adds to the importance of quantum mechanics and nanotechnology. QED charging. In classical physics, the nanoparticle atoms have heat capacity, allowing atoms to increase in temperature during thermal processing. But this is not true by quantum mechanics. By the Planck law of quantum mechanics, the nanoparticle atoms are precluded from having the heat capacity to increase in temperature. And instead, conservation of heat in thermal processing proceeds by QED inducing the nanoparticles to create non-thermal, now this is non-thermal, electromagnetic radiation. And QED here that I'll be using is a simple form of quantum electrodynamics advanced by Feynman. EM is electromagnetic. And I'm going to use the photoelectric effect to charge the nanoparticles. I take the QED-induced radiation and I ionize the metal nanoparticle by removing electrons to leave a positive charge nanoparticles. Here's electromagnetic radiation at 200 nanometers, and that energy is around 6.21 eV. And the electromagnetic radiation wavelength is twice the refractive index times the diameter. And from this, and I'll talk about this later, but basically, if you take iron nanoparticles with N equal to 1.5 and 70 nanometers in diameter, you can produce 200 nanometer radiation, right? Two times 1.5 is 3, 3 times 70 is 200. It's about 200 nanometers, so you can produce this radiation. That means the nanoparticles are charged because you knocked off electrons. The theory: heat capacity of the atom, conservation of energy, electromagnetic confinement. Heat capacity of the atom. Here's the Planck energy of the atom in electron volts on the ordinate. On the abscissa is the thermal wavelength in microns. From the macro scale, out here beyond 1,000 microns, to the nanoscale below 1 micron. And on the right, you see the KT energy of the atom at room temperature, 0258 electron volts. Now this blue line going all the way across at room temperature is classical physics. That includes when you do molecular dynamics, COMSOL, ANSYS, ABACUS. This is what you assume, that the atom always has heat capacity. Quantum mechanics differs. This is the Planck law, and most of you know this, but if you plot this out at 300 degrees Kelvin, you get this yellow curve. And down to about 100 microns, down to about here, you can argue that quantum mechanics and classical physics give about the same heat capacity to the atom. But below that, you can see the heat capacity starts to vanish as the nanoscale is way over here. This plot is very descriptive, and it summarizes probably the arguments between classical physics and quantum mechanics over the past 100 years. In 1900, Planck derived the Planck law, quantum mechanical law you see here. And in 1912, Debye came along with his phonons. He assumed that H nu is equal to KT. And of course, this is valid for lambda greater than 100 microns out here. And at that time, they were interested in the macro scale. The nanoscale wasn't all that important. But the problem is today, phonons are used in nanostructures way over here. You can see that the atom doesn't have any KT energy to transfer heat by conduction. So there's a problem. Now in 1950, Toller and Metropoulos did an MD simulation, and they assumed periodic boundary conditions. And when you do that, that's long wavelength, and it's valid out here beyond 100 microns. And nothing wrong with that either. But today, MD is used in discrete nanostructures way over here. So again, there's something wrong with discrete molecular dynamics simulations. But nevertheless, you have to ask the question, how do nanostructures provide such high electromagnetic confinement? You have to confine those atoms within nanoscale dimensions. Very difficult. Well, to answer that question, I'd like to begin with conservation of energy. And at the nanoscale, QED will convert heat Q into electromagnetic radiation because quantum mechanics precludes any conservation by an increase in temperature. Now, QED here is a simple form of the complex light-matter interaction advanced by Feynman and others. It's very simple, and all of you can understand it. And basically what it says is heat goes into a quantum mechanical box without heat capacity. When it does that, if it doesn't have any heat capacity, it will produce QED radiation spontaneously. Here's what I mean. Here's a cubical box, dimensions D. These are now nanoscale dimensions. Q here, Q, goes into this box. It goes all into the surface because of the high surface to volume ratio. And since quantum mechanics doesn't allow the temperature to increase, you still have to conserve it. And what's proposed is that this energy in the surfaces is produces a standing wave inside, lambda over 2, equal to D. And of course, once the energy in the surfaces is used up, there's no longer any electromagnetic confinement, and the radiation comes on. Equations are simple. The frequency of the radiation is the velocity of light, C divided by the refractive index N, divided by the wavelength lambda, and the half wavelength I just showed you is equal to D. E here is the Planck energy of that radiation, Planck's constant times the frequency F. Electromagnetic confinement, as I mentioned just previously. Nanoparticles have high surface-to-volume ratio. This is the characteristic of the nanoscale. It only happens at the nanoscale. All heat goes into the surface. Those surface atoms are under high electromagnetic confinement. But quantum mechanics doesn't allow the temperature to increase, as I showed you earlier. So then QED then is the only thing left. It will convert that surface energy from thermal process into standing EUV radiation. This will ionize the iron nanoparticles. Okay, you have this picture. Here you have one of these nanoparticles shown here in red. There's heat in the polypropylene. It tries to go in, but there's no temperature increase. And instead, a EUV standing wave is produced, as you see here. And it will knock off electrons because it has its over nanoscale dimensions, you have high energy. It knocks off electrons, and it will produce a positive charge, and that in turn produces the picture we want. Now, the purpose of this talk is EMD simulations are presented to show significant stiffening by triaxial stress stage using a nanoscale tensile specimen of polypropylene, including 500 iron nanoparticles on a spacing of 500 nanometers. MD here, of course, is molecular dynamics. And the MD simulation simplification model analysis and results. Simplification. In the iron polypropylene composite, MD simulations usually consider all atoms, that is, atoms in the nanoparticle and atoms in the polypropylene. What I'm going to do here is something else. I'm going to assume only the iron nanoparticles are simulated for simplicity. As the polypropylene continuum is insignificant, except it does provide lateral stability to the iron nanoparticles. You'll see this as I go on. The model, the simulation is shown here. This is a BCC configuration. Here's the support, here's the, these are now not atoms, there's no, these are nanoparticles. I treat the nanoparticles as atoms. And in the cross-sectional view, you see here width W and W, and XY is the dimensions in the plane, Z is orthogonal to that. And the boundary conditions, at Z equal to zero here, these nanoparticles, again, these are nanoparticles, not atoms, are assumed to have UZ displacement equal to zero. And the polypropylene is assumed to constrain the nanoparticles to move only in the Z direction. So what I do here is I set UX equal to UY equal to zero. And I use displacement loading at Z equal to L. This is Z equal to zero. This is L. Out here, I assume a displacement delta. And from that, you get a force, and of course, from that force, you get stress, and so on and so forth. And this is a question of molecular dynamics. Results, Young's modulus and the PSI here versus time step. and you see many solutions. Here was the 500 nanometer that I started with. The polypropylene is hidden beneath this curve. Here's the solution for 300 nanometer spacing, 200 nanometer, 120, and 100. And you can see the Young's modulus increases significantly. And here's a more blown up view. This is the Young's modulus. This shows the polypropylene at 20,000 psi versus time step. And what you see here at 1,000 nanometers, you're about two times enhanced. Not so much. But at 500 nanometer spacing, you've enhanced the polypropylene modulus by 10 times, which is relatively significant. And the conclusions then are that MD, based on classical physics that assumes nanoparticle atoms have KT energy, is invalid for nanocomposites. And MD, based on quantum mechanics, requires heat during thermal processing to be conserved by QED inducing EM radiation that charges the nanoparticles, knocks off electrons. It will produce Coulombic repulsion in a triaxial stress state, and that will enhance the Young's modulus. But there's always a but in this world. This requires whether a very large number of nanoparticles can be economically produced is an open question. If any of you have any ideas on that, please let me know. Now I'd like to conclude this talk with nanoparticle temperatures. In this talk, I've argued that quantum mechanics forces the heat capacity of the atom to go to zero. Is there an experimental argument? And the answer is there are many, one of which I'm going to present here, and that is if you add carbon nanoparticles to molten aluminum in air, an oxygen environment, and you cool to ambient, and you take SEM micrographs, this is what you're going to see. The gray here is an aluminum, the black are the nanoparticles. And you can see in this region, it's fairly uniform, but not really, but over here you can see there's a large difference. So this is not quite uniform spacing, but putting that aside, you have to ask the question, why did the carbon nanoparticles not combust at 600 degrees C? They should have. And if you repeat this for micron-sized carbon, you'll find when you look at the SEM, there are no carbon nanoparticles. And this suggests complete nanoparticle combustion. And quantum mechanical interpretation is that the nanoparticles do not have heat capacity. And this is kind of hard for people to believe, because if you sprinkle nanoparticles in an aluminum bath, you wouldn't expect them to stay there. But macrocarbon, when you do that, they will increase in temperature. Again, this is consistent with the Planck law at large wavelengths. And combustion then reduces the macrocarbon to nanoparticle size. And when it does that, the nanoparticles are at high temperature, and they also combust. And what this means, the temperature changes do not occur in nanoparticles. And this is my email address, and this is my home page. On my home page, you'll find the paper that goes along with this presentation, but the conference did not publish it. Thank you very much.